And I'm really, really pleased this morning to introduce you to my friend Anne Calvert. Why don't we welcome Anne by way of round of applause this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Anne, do you want to just tell us a little bit about who you are, just so we get to know you?
Yeah, sure. Oh, just so good to be with you all and in his presence. It's just beautiful. So thank you for having us. And I'm here with my friend Tim, who's my longest, oldest friend. So his family are all from Liverpool. So that's amazing. But we grew up on the Wirral together. Yeah, sorry. I thought that might get a reaction.
I had to live with
him. And Lee and I worked at Youth for Christ together a long, long time ago. I don't know how you haven't gone greyer than that. This is covered up. But yeah, it's just a privilege to be here with you. I've journeyed in Baptist ministry for 10 years until 2020. And then Gavin and I, my husband and I, wrote this book called Unleash the Acts Church Today. And the Lord just stirred my heart in this season to explore what it would mean to look like the church that he was calling us to be. And it led to me stepping out of where I was and been pioneering for the last 2.5 years. It's been quite hard going, but the Lord is definitely on the move.
Great. Can we pray for you this morning? I'm really excited for what God's going to bring.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, thank you so much for Anne. Thank you for the boldness that you've given her. Lord, to step out of what was familiar and to step into the unknown. And thank you that you are leading her by your Spirit. And Lord, thank you for the message you've put on her heart today. And as she speaks to us today, Lord, I pray that your anointing would flow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Wow. Where's Howard, the guy who was just there? Wow. The anointing on you, brother. Yeah. Wow. Honestly, I could just stay in that space all day. Thank you. I kind of don't want to ruin or take away from where we've just been going, guys. I don't think you do either. The presence of the Lord is so with us. And, oh, I just, honestly, Howard, I think I just need to say to you that there is a sense, I think, in the hour that we're stepping into of worship, like breaking through and pioneering something that means that we see strongholds fall, that means that we see lives come to Christ. I think literally in his presence, people are going to meet Jesus, you know, and that's what was happening. We just need to create that environment for him to move. And I love what I've witnessed this morning, Lee, just that you're making room. You know, there was no sense of rushing from one thing to the next. I've been in some churches and it's quickly, you know, next thing, kids out, then this, then we're done. Everyone can go and off we go. And it's like, phew, we're done. Now we'll get to go live our lives. And I just was feeling like the Lord was like, these people are not doing that. They actually want to pursue my presence. And that is all we're really living for, is him, isn't it? That's where all our trouble disappears. That's where all the pain goes. That's where all the grief, where he meets us in the midst of that. So I know you've been looking at the end times, haven't you? From Matthew 24, and you've been looking at the virgins with the oil. So Lee and I spoke late on in the week, and I just was hearing what his heart was at this time and this moment in history. And I said, oh, that's interesting, because it really ties in with what I feel the Lord's been speaking to me. So I am just taking note of the time. And yeah, so I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence in this church. I thank you for these people that are running hard after you. And Lord, I ask that you would stir up a greater hunger in our hearts for you and you alone, that we would be truly your followers, truly your bride, truly found in you, knowing that we're loved, knowing that we're saved, and longing for you. And we thank you, Lord, that it's out of that overflow that we're going to see so many lives transformed. We're not going to have to strive. We're just going to need to seek. And others will find. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So I think we're alive at a really exciting moment in history. I'm so glad to be alive right now. I think we are headed for global revival on a major scale. I'm saying that, you know, I'm sort of holding that before the Lord. I deeply fear the Lord. I've spent a heck of a lot of time in his presence. And so everything I'm saying, I'm like, Lord, if this is okay, is this okay for me to say before your people? I was in the shower back in 2020. I had COVID. I was really unwell. I had long COVID for a really long time. And I stood in the shower and my back was in agony. And I, with COVID, I don't know how many of you have suffered or with the long COVID symptoms, but it's weird. You have these pains in your body and they don't go away and they come in random places and you freak out because you think something's seriously wrong with you and then it seems to pass. And I was just going through these crazy moments of COVID and my back was in agony and I just stood in the shower and I just went, Lord, what is this back pain? And I don't even know why I asked the question. It's really random, but I just felt him say, it's birth pain, Anne. It's birth pain. And I was like, whoa, what, you know, what are you saying, Lord? What is that? And as I always tend to do, I turned to scripture and I was like, where is this in your word, Lord? Where is this grounded and rooted in the word? Because it's so the word and the spirit where we're going to see transformation. And in that moment, he was speaking to me from Matthew and saying, there will be birth pains. There will be birth pains. As we head towards my coming, Anne, as we head towards my return, there will be birth pains. And you are right in the middle of one now. And I just thought, wow, like we are in a new season. Like we are in a new era. We have flipped into something new, haven't we? Into a moment where, my goodness, I'm so excited what we're going to see God do. And I think, guys, it's going to be here. There's something happening here. There's a stirring of a well going on here. There's a flame that's been ignited in this space. And you can feel it. Even in our conversations, I'm going, whoa, what's happening to you? What's happening to you? Because I can see the Spirit of the living God moving upon my brother Lee. Back a few years ago, I was still working in the Baptist church. And we'd invited these prophets over from Israel. Absolutely crazy ladies, amazing women. I think they were from America originally. They decided to live in Israel because they're just really those people who are watching what the Lord's doing all the time, 24/7 in prayer. And they stood in the lounge of the guy that I was working with in Stanmore Baptist, and they stood there and one of them began to speak and she said, I see fire coming. And she talked about like the British Isles and she said, and I can see fire spreading all the way around the edge of the British Isles and then flooding through the center of the United Kingdom and then bouncing out into America, into Europe and beyond. And as she was talking about the fire coming, as she was saying, I see revival coming to the United Kingdom, I was thinking, wow, this is so interesting because I've heard other people say this. But in this moment, I just felt like I couldn't breathe. And something kind of happened in my body where my breath kind of like this. And I ended up shaking like from head to toe and thinking, is this demonic? Am I losing it? Am I a weirdo? And thinking, I must get out the room because I'm going to distract everybody else and this is going to cause a problem. So I sort of stood up to my feet as if to try and move out of the room so not to cause a problem, and then I fell face down in front of them. And all I can explain it to you, it was like I wasn't where everybody else was. Like I could hear them, but it was like I was somewhere else. There was something going on. And I can only now look back on it and think, I think it was an experience of the glory of God. Because I felt like in a millisecond, my breath could be taken out of my body. Like my life was utterly in his hands. And I just thought, oh my goodness, like I'm right before the throne. And I could hear these ladies from Israel say, is she for real? I'm thinking, what are they saying? And then I heard my friend go, oh yeah, that's just Anne, she's a bit crazy. I was thinking, I've never done this before. This is new for me. And later on, they were sharing with the whole church. That was just the leadership team, but they were sharing with the whole church later on that evening. And I thought, my goodness, can I handle any more of this? Like, what's going on here? Couldn't really make sense of it at all. And sat at the back of the church and just felt the Lord just prompt me to turn to Daniel in my Bible. And I was reading Daniel chapter 10. And in this moment in Daniel chapter 10, you might want to look at it later on, but Daniel has a vision. And in response to the vision, he starts to tremble. And then he says he could hardly breathe. And then he falls face down. And I just felt like the Lord said to me, Anne, you didn't have the vision. They had the vision. But that's your response to my vision. That's what's coming. And so I went into this whole thing of, is this in my lifetime? Is this, and I'm not a big kind of end times prophet person. Like I'm not, this is the times, this is the dates. I think it can be really dangerous. But I did just have this sense that something was going to come. Something of the Lord, the power of the Lord moving through every town, every city, every street. And you know where we've seen in the past, we've seen it in certain locations and different parts of the world. And we've gone, oh, there was a move of God. And there was a move of God. And this looked, and I just felt like the Lord was like, no, this is global. This is everywhere. And I am coming. So, one more crazy thing, and then we're just going to delve into Genesis. But I was in a restaurant with my husband, Gav, like a little while ago, and there was a picture of a dove on the wall of this restaurant, and we're literally having a really nice steak dinner, and I look up at this wall and see this dove on the wall, and I felt like the Lord was saying to me, the dove has nowhere to land, don't you understand? The dove has nowhere to land, don't you understand? And can I just say, before I carry on, that I feel like the Lord's told me to share this with the church, and this is not where I would choose to be in terms of preaching. So it's really uncomfortable, and please weigh and pray everything through. But yeah, the dove has nowhere to land, don't you understand? So if you want to look at Genesis chapter 8 with me, and verses 6 to 17, I'm just going to read from there. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water over all the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you, your wife, your sons, and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that's with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so that they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it. 7 days. Seven. How many years have you been here, Lee? 7. Interesting. So this is where I was in scripture. The dove has nowhere to land. And so I was like, okay, where is that? And what are you saying, Lord? And there was a sense I just felt as I was digging into this, and the Lord might show you something more, but that he was in a sense saying to me, like, the water on the earth in the time of Noah was acting like a cleansing and a washing of the earth to rid the earth of everything that was not good, everything evil, everything not of the Lord. And then we eventually see this moment where the dove finds a new land, new territory, and a space to make home. And I just was feeling like the Lord was saying to me that he is looking to take up residence on his people in this hour by the power of his Spirit. That he is looking for the people that he can land on who are saying, Lord, my whole life is yours. Every hour, every minute, I surrender to you. Whatever you want to do in me, whatever you want to do through me, however you want it to look, I surrender to you. And we watch Jesus, don't we, in this beautiful, incredible moment where he's baptized and he goes down into the water and he comes up. And in that moment where he comes up, the Father speaks and he says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. And the dove comes and rests upon him, transformed before the Father. There, the Son. We see the beauty of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit remains upon Jesus and doesn't leave ever. Right? Now that, I think, you know, I think it's Bill Johnson who says that when a dove comes to land upon your shoulder, like one tiny movement in, you know, in any kind of little jerk, and the dove will lift off of a person. And yet there's this sense, I think, of the Lord saying, I want to rest my Spirit on you and fill you, and you move only in step with me. And so you're kind of in this slowness with the Lord where you're going, are you still with me, Lord? Did you say? Can I do? Is this for you? Am I in line with what your Spirit's doing? I think it's out of that posture that we will begin to see a mighty move of God. A mighty move of God. And then the next bit that I was hearing, and this was about a week later, I felt that the Lord was saying, the glory is coming and you won't be able to stand. And I was just reminded, and I mean, you can look at it all the way through Scripture, but the moments where the glory of God comes, where his presence begins to dwell, are like crazy moments in the Word of God. And I felt like he was like, and you must not be afraid. You must not be afraid, because I am coming and I am going to move, but you have to trust me. And as you surrender, watch what I'm going to do. Watch what I am going to do. I mean, I fell face down and made a pretty big fool of myself, but I think there's going to be a lot more of his presence. And I feel like in the past, you know, I did years at Youth for Christ, I've done years of ministry, and we've been trying to see people come to Jesus, and we've been praying and fighting and fighting. And it's not, with prayer absolutely has to drive everything that we're doing, everything. But I think it's going, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come, have your way, do whatever you want to do. And it's an openness to the Spirit like we haven't had yet. And I don't know how you feel about that, because I feel like it feels a bit scary. It's like this is going to be unknown. But the personal work of the Holy Spirit is what's going to cause a major outpouring in the nation, in the land. Isaiah 60 verse 1, thick darkness is over the people, but his glory rises upon you. His glory rises upon you, and nations will come to the light of your dawn when they see Jesus in you. When they see the Lord's presence, that's what will bring them to him, when they witness him. I just feel to tell you this little story. I was in Tesco car park quite a while ago. Always do my shopping in Tesco. Love the club car points. And just a bit of a Tesco girly. So I was there and I was doing the shopping, and I put all of the shopping in the boot, and I was just about to get in the car and drive off. And then in this moment, this woman starts like stressing on the road, or like in the car park, and her car engine just suddenly cuts out and she can't get out. And this is London. I'm from North. I live in North London now. And literally the beeping of the horns, the minute anybody pauses for a second, beep, beep, get out the way, move, move. And this woman was in such a stress that she couldn't turn her engine on. You know, one of the lovely start, stop buttons that we've now got, drive me mad. But she had one of them and she was like constantly trying to push this button. I'm looking at my boot. I'm thinking about my ice cream and my frozen peas, and I'm thinking, what do I do? What do I do? And I just felt the Lord go over there. And I'm thinking, and do what? Like, what am I supposed to do? I have no clue about car engines at all. And just felt like the Lord was like, go over there. Okay. So I just walked over to the car and like knocked on her window, and she put her window down and she went, yeah? And I'm looking at her going, I don't know. So I just was like, are you okay? Can I help? And she just looked at me and went, the car won't start. I took it for a service last week. She said, I paid £1,000 for this car, that it would be okay. It was quite a new vehicle. And now the engine won't start. And I said, shall I pray? I did not know what else do you do? So she's like, all right then. So I just said, Lord, I pray that this engine would start to work now. It's not working, she says to me. It's not working. Like, for flip's sake, do something that's going to work. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, really stressing. And so I just went, in the name of Jesus, I command this engine to start. And vroom, it just came back to life. And she just looked at me and just drove off. And I, like, flung backwards and just went, what just happened? And I mean, I've loved Jesus for years and years and years, but even I was going, did you just really do that? Did you, Lord? Was that your power? And I thought, you know what? I was there thinking, I didn't get to speak to her. I didn't get to tell her anything else. I just know that she went away that knowing that it was in the name of Jesus that that car started. I think she was a Muslim lady, and she heard and witnessed the power of Christ Jesus move through her vehicle. And I then repented as I sat in my car with very melting ice cream of my lack of belief in the power of God and the lowering of the expectation that I have of him moving in our midst and in Tesco car park of all places. And I just thought, I need to expect more of my God. I need to believe, because we can talk about the glory coming, can't we? But if we don't step, then we don't see. We don't witness. Faith without deeds is dead. It's just a couple of things that I just wanted to share with you about getting ready. I think if this is what the reality is, if we are headed towards like a major move of God, that means we're headed towards an insane amount of salvation, healing, deliverance. We are going to come into an era where many, many, many people are just going to come flocking to Jesus. They're just going to encounter him all over the place and come flocking. The church has to be ready. We have to be ready for that to happen. And you know, the Lord is going to work on his bride, on his church, to make us ready in this hour. And I think one of the things about that is about getting empty. Getting empty. I'd had a dream, and in this dream, I was in this house, this big old house, with my mum. And we, for some reason, in the dream, we were expecting like loads of guests to come to the house for dinner. And I was looking at the dining table, thinking, I need to lay the table, I need to get the food ready. You know how you go in? Well, I do go into a bit of a, I need to get sorted because everybody's coming for dinner. And I look at the dining room, and I look where the table's meant to be, and in place of the dining table are washing machines. And I was like, this is really bizarre. And then I look out into the garden and I shout at my mum, because my mum is out there like hanging up washing outside on the line. And there were all these like white shirts and tops that she was hanging up. And I was like, Mum, there are people coming. We need to get ready. And she's like, I'm just doing this, dear. I'm just doing this and just hanging all this washing out on the line. And I go into the kitchen, and in the kitchen, there are piles of washing where all the food preparation should be going on. There's piles of washing. And I was like, this is so bizarre. And I just remember like waking up in a panic going, we are not ready. We are not ready for the people to come. We are not ready for the feast of the wedding of the Lamb. Like, we are not ready. And I was like, why on earth were there washing machines? Why in the dining room? And I just felt like the Lord was speaking to me about a deep cleansing work that he's doing in his people. A deep heart transforming thing in his people. I don't know what it's been like for you during COVID years. Like, I do not know what it's been like for you in the last 3 years, but I feel like, is there still more, Lord, that you want to do in me? Is there still more that I need to work through? He's like, there's just a bit more. Yeah, there's a bit more there. There's a bit more there. One of my biggest things last year was just around this realization that I have a great desire to keep people happy, that I'm a massive people pleaser, and that I actually live in fear of the response that people are going to make to me. And that's really not helpful when you public speak. Because actually, I think I probably will cause offense in some places, and I need to be okay with that if it's the Lord asking me. So I'd gone through this whole thing of just, Father, will you forgive me for people pleasing? Father, will you forgive me for the way that I let people speak into my life over and above what you're saying? Because I end up obeying what they're saying over what he's saying, and then living my life according to their agenda, not according to the King of Kings. That's not okay. And it'll be different for you. These things come up, don't they? And then it's like, oh, that's actually a stumbling block. That's actually a limitation on what the Lord wants to do through my life. That's actually one of the other things, like, and I think I've touched on it a little bit, is fear for me. Fear of what's coming. Fear of what it's going to look like for my kids going forward. Fear even of my kids at school right now in some of the climate that they're living in. It's so hard. And I'm constantly saying, Father, will you forgive me for my fear? And I think just in saying that to you guys, repentance is absolutely the only way. Whether we think we've done anything wrong or not, it's only the cross that's going to make a way for the glory. It's only the blood that's going to bring us into that place of transformation. It's only death to myself that's going to lead to resurrection power. And so I'm just spending more time on my knees and more time repenting. And it's not about a spirit of condemnation. It's about transformation. It's about transformation of our hearts, that we say, God, here's my heart. Will you weed it of any rubbish, of any debris? Because I need it to be clean and washed free and clean. Yeah, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Another crazy thing that happened. So it's get clean, get empty, get oil, get oil. So this is the whole one that you've been in with the virgins and the oil in their lamps. But I went to sleep on like the 22nd of December, I think it was, 2022, so many 22s like last year, I don't know what was going on. I'm not into numbers, but this was going on. Anyway, I went to sleep, and at midnight, which I didn't realize it was midnight, but all of a sudden the alarm by my bed starts beeping like crazy, like beep, 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 beep. And I don't set an alarm on the clock that was beeping by my bed. I don't know how to set it. I've never set it in my life. It's an old clock. And I was like, what is that noise? And I leant over to the clock and was like fumbling with it to try and turn it off, and I pushed on the light on the front to help me find the right button. You've all done it. And looked at it, and it was like 00.00. I was looking over at Gav going, why is he not stirring? Like, this alarm is really noisy. What? How could you just sleep through it all? Anyway, and then I managed to turn it off, and I was like, 00.00. And then I clicked on my phone, and my phone read the same number, 00.00. .000. So I was like, am I asleep or am I awake? What is going on? And I honestly, it's this kind of thing that I think the Holy Spirit is saying, wake up and pay attention to what you're seeing, to what you're feeling, to what you're hearing, to what you're seeing in this hour. And know that I'm speaking. I'm speaking. The Lord is speaking to his children. Now, we don't overanalyze it all, but we do pay attention and pray. Pay attention and pray. And as I rolled over to try and go back to sleep, I was just like, Lord, why is it 00.00? Why is it midnight? And all I could hear was this: at midnight, the cry rang out. At midnight, the cry rang out. The bridegroom is coming. Are you ready to come out and meet him? Are you ready to come out and meet him? Matthew 25, verse 6. And I was like, I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord. Now can I just please go back to sleep? I really want to go back to sleep now. Anyway, 2 days later, and I mean, I don't know what December looks like for you, but this is party season, right? I mean, it's Jesus season, but it's family, it's friends, it's lots of food. It's full on party season. We get to Christmas Eve. And I'm in the dining room feeding people, and all of a sudden, beep, 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 beep again. And I'm like, where is that? Like, what is going on? And I went through into the kitchen, and the oven alarm was going off. Now, I'm not a cook. I'm not a cook. And I do not know how to use an oven alarm. I've never used one. My mum would be appalled to hear that, but that's true. And I just am looking at this going, why is that going off? Who's been fiddling? We've got no small children. Like, how is this 00.00? I just burst out laughing. I was just like, how is this? What is going on? And then again, just literally a couple of days ago, which is why I'm bringing you it now, because I thought this was done, this message, but it's clearly not. I turned on my phone and there was a Zoom meeting scheduled on my phone for 00.00. Who schedules a Zoom meeting for midnight? No one. I was like, okay, Lord, I hear you and I'm here. What do you want to say? What do you want to say? And I just, all I can feel is him going, get ready, get ready. And there was a sense as well of like a resetting that was going on, like 00.00, like resetting us back to our original design, moving us into a position where we are beginning to fulfill what he originally intended on your life. What he originally called you for, that you are able to stand up fully into what he has for you. I don't know whether you feel like you've stood fully. I don't know whether you feel like you've done what Esther did, where she stood before the king and she spoke with boldness and authority. Whether you feel like you've fulfilled all the Lord has on your life, because now's the time. Now's the hour. And he's not just calling ministers to platforms. He's mobilizing an army. He's calling every single part of the body, every member, every person, to every family, every street, everywhere. It's all of us together. The people that he's speaking to are everywhere. They're everywhere. And he wants to speak to all of us and show us what he's doing in this hour. Because he is coming. And I think, again, it just goes back to the glory. And are we ready? The other thing about 00.00, as I was praying into it, was this sense of the Lord saying, this is the mark of a new day. Like, this is the moment where we slip from this hour to this hour, from this day to this day, and we're stepping into a whole new era of what God is writing. And I was reminded that I turned 40 in 2020, that the Lord had said, and these 40 years won't look anything like the next 40. And I had to go through this like dismantling of my understanding around everything. And I still think I'm in that a bit. I have to just kind of go, is that what you're doing, Lord? Is that what you're saying, Lord? Is that where you want me? What, and trying to move and live according to that, not according to, do you know what? It'd be a really good idea to go and get ordained. That makes sense for your life, to go and get ordained. That makes sense for you to go and do that degree or to go that direction. And the Lord's like, that was great then. But now, only by my Spirit, But now, just what I am saying to you, have we got enough oil? Have we allowed the access of the Spirit? Are we on time with the calling that He has for us? Are we standing up, even if it means like doing something really uncomfortable? Are we standing up to full height? Are we arising and taking our positions in this hour? Because this is the hour. Nearly finished, my friends. But I think the other key here is about rest, is get rested. Get rested. I feel like in COVID, it gave us an opportunity. Some of us worked harder than ever, but some of us found a new level of rest and a new level of space. And I think the Lord is saying, keep coming back to that place of stillness. You know, when we were just there in prayer and in worship, it was just, yeah, that peace of the living Lord Jesus. Like, we keep seeking out that place of total peace, total rest. And it's out of that place we move. Out of repentance and rest is your salvation. Quietness and trust is your strength. Out of that, we get revelation. Out of that place, we feel the heart of the Lord. We feel His compassion. If we're just busy all of the time, if we're just filling our life, which I can do all the time with my phone or my iPad or just people, how do we make room for what He wants to write? I love that you guys are gathering here tomorrow night. I love that what you're doing tomorrow sounds amazing. May the Lord just meet with you so powerfully together. Low and slow. Go low and slow and ask the question, am I able to hear Him for myself and for others? And then get love. Get love. I think one of the things that I've realized is I've been moving out of revelation, but now the Lord is saying, move out of compassion. Move out of compassion. And I just want to ask you this question, because I've always answered yes to this, but do you know that Jesus really loves you? Do you know? Can you answer me with a yes, Anne? I know He loves me. And you are assured of that, and you know that on the cross, everything has been finished at the cross. Because I think He's chasing us down and He's fighting for His bride. And He's saying, I found you. I love you. You are forgiven. You are healed. You are free. And I want you to, in that place of rest, receive my love. Receive my love. And I was just reading something that Heidi Baker had written. And it said something that about she loves the one because she knows the love of the one. She loves the one because she knows the love of the one. And she was being interviewed and she said, I receive His love in His presence every day. Do you let Him love you? Do you let Him love you? And all that means is, Lord, by the power of Your Spirit, will You show me how You love me? It's as simple as that. And just wait in His presence. And let Him guide you as you read scripture. Let Him speak to you. She also says this, stay in love with Daddy and be present with the one in front of you, carrying His presence to them. I just think as He cleanses us, as He washes us, as He empties us, He fills us with His love. He fills us. And then that love is going to act like an overflow to people that we meet. And we will begin to see them the way that He sees them. We'll begin to feel what He feels over them, hear what He's saying to them. And we'll stop looking at them through the eyes of the flesh, but through the eyes of what the Spirit is showing us. Because we'll know He saved me from that. He can save them from that. He transformed me from being like that. He can transform them. That is where we're moving to. And just finally, get moving. Get moving. I think that God has just been impressing on me that we need to be doers of the word, not just tellers of the word. And I felt in like December time, there was like an acceleration and a sense of God saying, and treat December like you would January. And I was just like, what do you mean? Because to be honest, January sucks a little bit, doesn't it? Like fast and pray in January. That's probably what I would be doing. And it's just like, treat December like that. I love December fun. Like, but I felt like the Lord was like, no, stay awake and watch what I'm about to do. And I just had the privilege of being in Telford on the 18th of December. And honestly, the salvation that came across that morning in Telford, many, many, many people coming to Jesus. Revival has begun in that space. And there are other spaces where that is happening across the United Kingdom. People are beginning to encounter Christ on a major scale. I think it's coming here too. Do you believe that? It's coming. Why don't we stand and I'll pray for us. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. If you're kind of hearing this and you're going, I want this. I want what Anne's talking about. I want more of the Lord. I want more of the Spirit. I want to receive all that He has for me. I want to stand where He's calling me. I just invite you to put your hands out in front of you. I'm just going to pray for you. Yeah, Ezekiel 1 and verse 20, the Spirit was in the wheels. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. And the wheels would rise along with them because the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. Wherever the Spirit would go, they would go. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you're doing amongst your children here. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord. And I just want to pray for an increase right now. An increase. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. More of you. More of you. You know, when the disciples said goodbye to Jesus, when they watched him ascend into heaven, their hearts were left grieved. Because they'd been with Jesus, they'd felt him, they'd heard him, they'd experienced him, they'd met with him, they were desperate to see him again. When they received the Holy Spirit, they knew he was with them again. They knew he'd come back in the presence of his Spirit. And so that's what I'm praying over us, that we would know Jesus more, that we would hear him more. Lord, unlock our minds. Reset our minds. Holy Spirit, we want to feel what you're feeling, Jesus. We want to see what you're doing. We ask for an awakening, awakening, awakening to come. We ask that you'd awaken our senses. We ask that you would stir up a hunger in us for more of you. Lord, we pray that we wouldn't leave this morning the same way we came in. Lord, would you consume our hearts with love? And I just pray for those of us, Lord, who don't know that we're loved by you. I want to ask, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to my brothers and sisters, that we would see your face. We ask for a greater glimpse of you, Jesus. We ask for a greater empowering of your Spirit. We thank you that the time is now. And I just feel like the Lord is saying that for some of you, he's calling you to bind up the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. But he's starting with you. And he's starting in your family. And it will ripple out from there. And so, Lord, we say you have full permission to deal with our brokenheartedness. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would set us free from captivity. We ask that you would deliver us from the evil one. We say full permission, Holy Spirit. And Jesus, we just declare we love you. We love you. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that when I return here, however long that is, but God, we're praying that you do it quickly, that you would be doing something incredible amongst these people. Lord, I'm believing that you are going to start to bring the lost, that you are going to start to see many, many people set free, many, many hearts healed, many, many people encounter Jesus. And it's going to be one touch, one word, one prayer, and their whole life turned around. And I think what he wants to say over some of you today as well is that things you've been living with for a really long time, now it ends. It ends today. It is finished. It is finished today. It is finished at the cross. Lord, will you show your power and your glory? Release, Lord. Release your kingdom here. Let heaven come in this church amongst your bride here in Aintree. For the sake of your name and your glory, here we are. Use us. Take us. We surrender. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen.